The story I'm going to bring to your attention today is a bizarre story. It, on the surface, has nothing to do with American economic history. But at the same time, this bizarre story will give us insights in the mind of the people who were doing the New Deal, and which laid the foundations of the modern American welfare state. In the late summer of 1934, a strange party was traveling through Manchuria and Mongolia. You can see the map here. At that time, Manchuria and Mongolia were occupied by Japan. The party was headed by a man who spoke with a heavy Slavic accent, like myself. and the party represented itself as an expedition, botanical expedition, working on behalf of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Their official mission was to collect drought-resistant plants to fight the soil erosion back in the United States. Yet the party was more interested in monitoring local political situation, collecting local military intelligence, and the head of the party very much wanted to plug himself into local indigenous prophecies. Especially he was interested in one prophecy, Buddhist prophecy called Shambhala, which mentioned the end of the world and the coming of the glorious Redeemer who would save the people of Inner Asia from the people of the alien faith. Of course, it raised the eyebrows of the Japanese intelligence service. It also raised a lot of questions on the part of Britain and other nations. It was a very sensitive, the area was a hot spot because after Japan occupied northeastern China, Manchuria, and a part of Chinese Mongolia, so United States denounced it, broke relations with Japan, and here we have an expedition working on behalf of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. This strange enterprise was, the man who was in charge of this party was Nicholas Roerich. So here you see the people in the military uniform, and Roerich, this man with this charismatic appearance who billed himself as a local messiah, so he wanted to plug himself in local indigenous prophecies, which aroused suspicions of Japanese intelligence. This strange expedition, botanical expedition, quote unquote, was backed up by Henry Wallace, Secretary of Agriculture, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture. That's where my story begins. Wallace's name is usually associated with this no less bizarre, but at least they made sense to him. Measures attempted by Agricultural Adjustment Administration, infamous slaughtering of 6 million pigs, then plowing the farmers' crops in hope to keep the prices up. Wallace's name is also mentioned in connection with the 1948 blunder when he was running. He tried to run for U.S. president on the Progressive Party ticket. I'm going to argue in my brief talk that this bizarre expedition, botanical expedition, which is normally treated as some kind of an aberration in the biography of otherwise progressive politician. I'm all going to argue that this bizarre episode was in fact a manifestation of this crackpot philosophy and the mindset of the people who were swarming to Washington in 1933 to try the magical curative devices to provide quick fixes for social and political problems. I'm arguing that this quote-unquote botanical expedition should be included in the list of, again, no less bizarre experiments conducted, especially in the early New Deal, like Arthur Dale in Virginia, an attempt to build the new American man, a collective community, or NRA measures, or for that matter, Indian New Deal. You may have heard about John Collier, U.S. Commissioner for Indian Affairs, FDR, it's a Commissioner for Indian Affairs, who wanted to build so-called Red Atlantis, which might be an interesting topic to research for somebody. A recent scholarship eradicated this sacred aura that the New Deal had in the minds of public, and libertarian scholarship did a lot in this direction, including Tom Woods, Robert Higgs. And in fact, I wanted to mention that Robert Higgs, in one of his recent books, Against Leviathan, he writes that those people who, so-called brain trust of FDR, those people who came to Washington in 1933, in fact, a lot of them were infested with this crackpot philosophy, which was responsible for many blunders in the first years of the New Deal. Wallace, Henry Wallace, was one of those brainy guys. Robert Higgs called them brainy guys in his lectures. And my story is essentially about how these brainy guys, how this brainy guy, whom FDR for some reason called old common sense, that's how he liked to call him, how he sent this expedition, which almost ended in diplomatic embarrassment for U.S. government and cost not so much, but at least it was a waste, $79,000. Documentary records reveal recently opened archives in Rutgers. There were papers recently discovered, one of Rorick Associates, revealed that Henry Wallace, who was admitted in Rorick's circle under the esoteric name Galahad, after the famous seeker of the Holy Grail, knew about the painters. Rorick was a painter, about Rorick's geopolitical project, and backed it up, and later did everything to eliminate his correspondence, all manuscripts which he had that could compromise him. Why did he support it? So first of all, why did he support this reckless experiment, which later he tried to hide? First and foremost is that for him, if you read Wallace's books and memoirs, the essence of the modern and progressive for Wallace revolved around a planned society based on collectivism, society that should be navigated by the enlightened masters, and he viewed himself as one of the enlightened masters. Of course, you know Wallace was anti-capitalist. Of course, you know, if you read about New Deal, that Wallace had a sympathy for socialism, but it's not the whole story. Unlike he shared the same ideas of FDR's circle, or at least ideas of many people who belong to the brain trust. What set him aside is that the new order that he contemplated for the United States should be linked to a new spiritual revolution. To a new spiritual revolution, which means the establishment of the new universalist religion. So that's how he plugged himself into this geopolitical experiment of Nicholas Rorick. Okay, here is a few things that give us the better picture of Henry Wallace, agriculturalist, frustration about mainstream Christianity. That's what brought him to spiritualism, universal religion, and eventually encouraged him to support Nicholas Rorick. So he believed in cooperatives. He came to conclusion that light comes from the East. he talked a lot about environment, talked about the new order. In this case, he reminds me this, to some extent, the one of the this current type of left liberal politician who trashes Western civilization, who makes environmentalism into his or her secular religion, who dabs into Buddhism or some non-Western cultures, like Al Gore could be a good example of this new type of politician. Okay, the scheme that Nicholas Rorick tried to promote in the heart of Asia is so-called the Sacred Union of the East, and Wallace, as recent documentation, proves that he knew about it. And they exchanged letters where they called this geopolitical experiment as Kansas, then the Great Plan, the most frequently used phrase, the new country. It was contemplated, this new state based on the new order and the new universalist religion was contemplated as a theocracy, which would show the humankind this new spirituality. Okay. And the plan of Rorich was to build this huge theocracy from Siberia to Himalayan mountains, from eastern China to India. And the economic foundation of the society would be cooperatives, okay. Ideologies, universalist ecumenical religion. Rorich courted the U.S. establishment for a long time. If you are familiar with U.S. history, you know that Wallace and Rorich also spearheaded so-called Rorich Peace Pact. It's an analogy of the red cultural cross to fly a peace flag over the cultural sites to be protected in a time of conflict. There is also, and it's not proven yet, that Wallace and Rorich participate in designing U.S. Dollar bill. This phrase, Novus Ordo Seclorum, new secular order, supposedly was dropped into by Rorich and Wallace in this old CNI. But again, that's, there is no documentation for this. I'm not going to speculate. All right, so this is my major argument, that Wallace, Tugwell, these brainy guys attempted the reckless experiments, and the Sacred Union of the East, or quote-unquote botanical expedition, was an integral part of this. Why East Asia? East Asia, as I said, was a hot spot at that time. A lot of things were going on. Mongolians, Manchuria were in revolt. Mongolia was revolting against Red Russia. Mongols at the same time were revolting against the Chinese, against land encroachment. Japan established a puppet state, Mongol puppet state in Manchuria. So all these things gave hope to Rorich and Wallace to establish this theocracy as a counterbalance to Japan. That's a picture of Rorich Armageddon. So it's an expected Armageddon. So he built himself, Rorich, as the leader of this new theocracy. And that's a picture of himself. He pictures himself as the new, like a Christ-like figure. All right, so here's the conclusion. So why such reckless experiments? Again, it's a bizarre incident. It's a might be treated by some as an aberration. But here is the zeitgeist. I remember this German word, zeitgeist, the spirit of the time. I'm trying to show that if you put this bizarre incident in the context of time, so everything will be clear. So here is the spirit of the time. Big is beautiful. Cult of planning. So cult of planning became an article of faith from San Francisco to the Ural Mountains, and people, millions of people supported it, so it was taken for granted that social engineering planning would be the radiant future. Worship of science, and of course, the cult of the enlightened master. It could be Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin, or FDR. Thank you.